tonight on Earth, it's total confusion. Confusion. You see, the collapse of the city of man should not be seen as curtailing the building of the city of God. As distracting and as distressing as the actions of the wicked may be, when we focus on the fact that God is on his throne, then we can view the tottering foundations and the crumbling occasions in a totally different fashion. And at a time when there are unique opportunities for the gospel, at a time when people are asking deep-seated questions because they recognize the foundations are crumbling too, and at the time that they are just about prepared to drink a cup of coffee and seek a sensible answer, the bombastic, ugly Christian is manning the barriers of right-wing politics, joining coalitions, endorsing political agendas, advancing legislative remedies, and in doing so, with every further move, losing the ability to say with Paul, we do not wage war the way the world wages war. The church cannot say it because it wouldn't be true. The tragedy is that since the foundations are being destroyed, and since activism is a very large part of this culture, the Christian then determines that they will become an activist. And it isn't wrong to become an activist, but it is wrong to become a slanderer. It is wrong to become combative and ugly. It is wrong to forget that the only thing that separates me from the guy who tonight is boozing it up in some saloon is not that I'm smarter than him, but it is the grace of God to me. So until the church learns how to cry, the church loses any right to shout. Until we learn to do what we've been asked to do, we dare not start to do what has been granted to us, no mandate at all. You know, here's the strangest thing, if I may make an aside. Conservative Christianity hammered for the longest time mainline churches in America. Because of what? Their desertion of the gospel and their commitment to politics. And they said, these people do not preach the gospel because they are so involved in politics. Look at them. They're arm in arm with the Sandinistas. They're arm in arm with the liberators. They're arm in arm with the freedom fighters. Oh, what a bad group of people they are. Well, did we get inoculated by their condition? Don't we see ourselves in the mirror? For the last two decades, we've done the same thing. Oh, it's not left-wing liberalism. It's right-wing radicalism. The foundations are being destroyed, and we know that we must do something, and we're not going to run, but we can sure stay and fight, and so we'll link arms with all these strange concoctions of people. We will reconstruct our society by coercive legal and political means. We will establish some kind of little political misrepresentation of God's kingdom. We are like the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, out with the swords, ready to chop the people's heads off. And Jesus is putting ears back on all around us and saying, guys, have you learned nothing in 2,000 years? Didn't you read what I wrote in the book, My Kingdom is Not of This World? If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But the reason that they don't is because the very crushing of my body is going to be the blood that fuels the birth of my church. And in every generation, it has been the blood of the martyrs that is the seed of the church. But in this generation, we are determined that no blood will flow save the blood of these dreadful people with their wicked bows shooting from the darkness. They will not have our country. They will not have our schools. They will not have our... Listen, God has no special countries. Read the history books. Read the history of the British Empire. And down the flag comes over Hong Kong, and up goes the Chinese flag. And over Zimbabwe, and over great chunks of Africa, and over the continents of Asia, and over India. And in part, largely because they made the mistake that I can't believe we would now make so soon afterwards. What will the righteous do? You see, C.S. Lewis had a wonderful picture. He said that instead of this ugly combativeness in terms of physical warfare, as it were, the Christian is like a secret agent dropped in behind enemy lines to go about the clandestine business by means of the weaponry provided by his commander-in-chief. We don't want dropped behind enemy lines. We might have to talk to some of those folks. Loved ones, you cannot justify it from the pages of Scripture. When the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? Well, they can flee. They can fight. Another one is they can follow whatever's going on in the culture, marry the spirit of the age, do Broadway musicals, you know. Try and soften them up, butter them up, turn your church into a social club, turn it into a singles bar, ape the cultural trends, play anything you want to play, play the game, get them in at any cost. Marry the spirit of the age and become a widow in the subsequent generation. No. The great mystery tonight is not that the wicked would be condemned to an eternity that they have chosen for themselves by determining to deny God. The great mystery is that such a God would come and seek out men and women to inhabit his heaven. You see, the tempter came to them and said, hey, you're not going to believe all that judgment stuff, all the prohibition stuff, are you? You're not going to believe that you really die. Don't be afraid of the consequences. God's trying to frighten you. Do as I tell you. Believe me, you'll be perfectly happy. You'll have this amazing knowledge and understanding. You will be like a god yourself, and man bought it, and he buys it again tonight. Oh, don't go and listen to that stuff. Don't obey the Bible. Don't believe that stuff about the judgment of God. Get out and live your life. And the ultimate tragedy, loved ones, tonight is this. First, that man rejects the diagnosis in relationship to sin. And secondly, that despite the most dire of predicaments, he continues to avoid the only one who can really help him. Isn't that the tragedy of it all? You can go in any coffee shop you like and get agreement on the crumbling of the foundations. But once introduced the notion that man's predicament is not in relationship to his environment, is not in relationship to his parents, that his grandmother locked him in a closet, but is in relationship to the fact that he himself is perverse and goes his own way rather than God's way, and you'll find that people are moving to another table. And they will cry themselves to sleep for want of a savior. But they will not come to the only one who has the answers.